are listening to a sermon podcast from St. Benedict's Table, a congregation of the Anglican Church of Canada located in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
May only truth be spoken and only truth received. Amen. When I was 15, I spent a couple of weeks on my aunt and uncle's sheep farm in Scotland. My parents' reasoning at the time that it was probably a good thing to clear the teenaged Jamie out of Winnipeg for a time, to get his feet in the farm fields and his head in a whole different kind of space. They were right. Combined with time spent in England with other relatives, it made for a glorious sort of summer. Now, at the time, I had only a very vague sense of farms, particularly of sheep. I had rather romanticized images of walking in the fields, surrounded by placid and peaceful sheep, but soon discovered that as soon as I climbed over one of the stone hedges surrounding the fields, the entire flock would hustle away. They'd go as far from me as they possibly could. And any movement I might make toward the flock would cause them to again move off in the opposite direction, which more or less ruined my naive and rather romantic imagery of shepherds and sheep. The only lambs that would come close were the orphans, who'd not bonded with a mother, and so saw we humans as the closest thing to their kin. And then in 2008, I again had the opportunity to spend a bit of time on a Scottish sheep farm. This time, the 300-acre property belonging to my cousin, Richard. Half of his farm was dedicated to the reforestation of the land with native trees and plants, which had largely been displaced after the Second World War by a program of planting Canadian balsam firs across great swaths of Scotland, a move that in retrospect was seen as deeply problematic for the local ecosystem. And so half of Richard's 300 acres were all dedicated to reforesting with the original trees. And he did it with love and tenderness for that land. The other half of the farm was given over to a small herd of Galloway cattle and a flock of sheep, which my cousin knew intimately. The cows were his girls, easy to approach and completely unafraid of humans. The sheep, on the other hand, required the herding skills of his border collie, Lil, who took great delight in rounding up the sheep and moving them from field to field. But would his sheep come close to me? Not a chance. My cousin, as the shepherd, could get much closer, but only with the help of Lil, that border collie. Sheep, you see, are not known for their brightness or their canny intelligence. Quite the opposite, in fact, sheep are wary, and they move always as a flock. If one sheep bolts, they all bolt. If one huddles into the corner of the sheepfold, they all huddle with it. Simple survival might be their primary goal, and they'd rather that dogs and humans just stay away. A skilled shepherd can herd a flock of sheep. In Turkey, I remember seeing a couple of those shepherds very ably moving a flock right through the streets of a small town. Had they not been herding the flock, I can only imagine the path those sheep might have taken. Domestic sheep come from a long, long line of being domesticated, millennia, in fact, such that without being sheared of their wool by the shepherd, domestic sheep will become overgrown to the point of dying. Their wool has flourished, but not so much their intelligence. The author of the 23rd Psalm would have known this. as would the various other biblical writers who use shepherd imagery for a king or a leader, and sheep imagery for the people. When Isaiah writes, "All we like sheep have gone astray, we've all turned to our own way," it is because Isaiah knows just how lost sheep become without a shepherd. Similarly, Ezekiel, who writes of the people of Israel that, quote, "they were scattered because there was no shepherd." Those kings and leaders intended to be their good shepherds, Ezekiel writes, quote, "have not searched for my sheep. The shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep. And so says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and I will seek them out." So the psalmist and Isaiah and Ezekiel and Jesus, among many others, know just how lost sheep are without a guiding shepherd. And when you think about real, living, breathing sheep, it isn't the most flattering of imagery for the people of God. Like, we're the sheep? Vulnerable, in need of constant care, susceptible to predators, liable to just run and follow the rest of the flock, unable to much think for themselves. That's quite a picture, isn't it? And is it really us? Well, yeah, in a sense, it is. Because we do walk with a level of vulnerability. And we can easily get influenced by the movement of a flock. Think of how media can impact our thinking and actions, or how advertising can convince us of what we most need to be happy, and we need it now. Think, in other words, of how much we need a guiding shepherd, and maybe sometimes even a border collie to nip at our heels in order to get us back on track. Which is why I think the 23rd Psalm still has such power to speak to us. Even if many of us have never been near an actual sheep or spent all that much time outside of the city perimeter. The psalm begins in a place of peace and contentment. You can easily picture a shepherd and his flock of sheep settled comfortably in a lush valley. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. The Lord revives my soul and guides me along right pathways for his name's sake." As the Lutheran biblical commentator James Limburg points out, at this point, the psalmist is speaking of God's character as good shepherd. There is contentment and safety. And from that place, the psalmist refers to God somewhat at arm's length. "The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord does this. The Lord does that." But then there's a critical shift when the writer turns in acknowledgement of more difficult times. "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Here the psalmist is prepared to state openly and clearly that there are times when he's walking through the valley of the shadow of death, which may mean a threat to his own life, or could point to the experience of having a beloved friend or partner or child die, leaving the writer reeling in death's shadow. Yet, "I shall fear no evil, for I am not doing this alone. You are my God. You and even your rod and your staff will comfort me." Which is interesting, because a shepherd's staff is as likely to be used on the flank of a sheep to get it moving as it is to be used to defend against a predator. "Even if you're slapping my flank, Lord, there is comfort in having you walk me through this dark, dark valley. Keep me moving." This psalm is part of our biblical mother tongue. probably the most familiar of all Psalms, perhaps one of the most familiar portions of the entire Hebrew Bible. Any wonder that Jesus laid hold of shepherd imagery as he recalled Isaiah, Ezekiel, and most assuredly this psalm. "My sheep hear my voice," he says, to those Judeans who come trying to get him to answer plainly whether or not he is Messiah. "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, they know me. I give them eternal life, and they will not perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." Now, I know just enough about sheep to know just how powerful this statement was intended to be. Without a shepherd, the sheep die. It's just true, full stop. With a shepherd, the sheep have a decent chance against predators, and also have someone who will tend their wool, pull them out of bad scrapes when they get in trouble, bind up wounded legs, and occasionally even send out that border collie to nip at their heels to get them moving. Speaking personally, I need all of those things, and probably more, from my great good shepherd. So isn't it grand that Jesus is just that, the good shepherd, willing to lay down his life for this funny old flock that we are? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
This has been a sermon podcast from St. Benedict's Table. For information on our church and to access the full catalog of our podcasts going all the way back to 2006, visit us online at stbenedictstable.ca. In addition, if you are interested in supporting our online work, you can find information on the website using the donate button located on the top right-hand corner. Thanks for listening.